Many blessings to you all and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is 1 Timothy 2, 1 to 7. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 7. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. And for this purpose I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling you the truth. I am not lying, and a true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles. My theme for reflection is, first of all, then pray. First of all, then pray. If you have ever tried assembling flat pack furniture without reading the instructions, you know how tempting it is to skip the first step and jump straight into action, only to discover later that everything is unstable. Paul, writing to Timothy, knows that discipleship works the same way. Before strategies, structures, debates, or corrections, he insists on one simple but demanding beginning. First of all, pray. The problem facing Timothy in Ephesus is one we recognize well today. How do you live faithfully in a culture that does not honor God? How do you lead a church when voices compete, truth is distorted, and power is misunderstood? Paul's answer is not withdrawal, aggression, or anxiety. It is prayer. Wide, generous, persistent prayer that recenters the church on God's purposes rather than its fears. Paul urges that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone. The piling up of words matters. Prayer is not a single technique, but a whole posture of life. We ask for what we need. We carry others before God. We give thanks even when circumstances are imperfect. And strikingly, Paul insists that prayer must include those in authority, kings and rulers, so that society may be marked by peace, dignity, and godliness. This is not naive optimism, it is theological realism. Leaders, whether good or bad, do not sit outside God's concern. Prayer resists the illusion that power belongs only to those at the top. At the heart of this call to prayer lies God's desire that everyone be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Prayer then is not escapism, it is participation in God's saving will. It stretches our hearts beyond our own tribe, grievances, and preferences. It reminds us that no one is beyond God's concern, not the ruler we distrust, not the neighbor who irritates us, not even the enemy who wounds us. Paul grounds this vision in one of the most profound confessions of the Christian faith. There is one God. There is also one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus. The church does not pray because it is powerful, but because Christ has already given himself as a ransom for all. Prayer flows from grace, not achievement. As Augustine once observed, prayer is the echo of God's own desire for us. We pray because God has already moved toward the world in love. Paul's insistence on prayer for all echoes God's promise in the Old Testament. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. Hosea 6, verse 6. God has always sought hearts turned toward Him, not merely correct rituals. Prayer is how that turning happens again and again. For Christian people today, this passage reorders our instincts. When faced with cultural pressure, we are tempted to shout. When confronted with disagreement in the church, we are tempted to take sides. When leadership disappoints us, we are tempted to withdraw. Paul says, first of all, pray. Prayer does not remove responsibility, but it reshapes it. It forms communities marked by gratitude rather than complaint, peace rather than panic, and hope rather than despair. Prayer also humbles us. If Christ is the only mediator, then none of us occupies the center. Gratitude becomes the proper tone of discipleship. As John Wesley spoke of the holiness of gratitude, he reminded the church that thankful people live differently. They notice grace where others see entitlement. So what if prayer became the first priority on your list of New Year's resolutions for 2026? Not after fitness goals, career plans, or financial targets, but before them all. What if instead of resolving to do more, control more, or prove more, you simply resolved to pray more? What if you prayed not only for answers, but for direction, not only for outcomes, but for a purposeful life shaped by God rather than driven by anxiety? What if in moments of confusion, frustration, or fatigue, you insisted or you resisted the urge to react and chose instead to pray? Paul's counsel is quietly radical. Before you speak, pray. Before you act, pray. Before you judge, pray. Prayer recenters our lives on God's will rather than our fears, God's timing rather than our impatience. It teaches us to trust that we do not have to carry the weight of the world on our own shoulders. If Christ is the one mediator, then we are free to step out of the exhausting illusion of control and rest in grace. What if you just prayed? And let prayer shape your decisions, soften your conflicts, steady your leadership, and renew your hope. What if prayer became not your last resort, but your first instinct? Such a life would not be quieter because it avoids responsibility, but deeper because it is anchored in God. And in that anchoring, we may discover that direction becomes clearer, purpose more durable, and joy more resilient, because we have learned, first of all, to pray. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, who is the person or group I find hardest to pray for, and what might God be changing in me if I did? Number two, how would my participation in the church change if prayer, rather than reaction, became my first response? And now our practical exercise for the day. Choose one leader, local, national, or church-based, and one person you struggle with personally. Pray intentionally for both by name, asking God to grant them wisdom, peace, and truth, and to soften your own heart as you do so. Gracious God, you desire that all be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Teach us to pray without ceasing, not out of fear, but out of trust. Free us from narrow hearts and restless spirits. Form in us gratitude, patience, and love, that our lives may reflect the peace and dignity you intend for the world, through Jesus Christ, the one mediator who gave himself for all. Amen.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all now and forevermore. Amen.